We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, did you hit the Hawks one? How about them Hawks? They won at the buzzer. Trey Young did it again. Welcome to the morning show on a Monday with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas.
How about them Hawks?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's how we're going to start the morning, John.
That's all I got.
Good morning, Atlanta.
Well,
let me tell you, I already know the city is about to let me have it. I didn't know that. I mean, and that's okay. I understand, you know. But I will say this. Like I said last week, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played, John Fricke.
Yeah, tell that to Philadelphia where they're printing World Series tickets.
Listen, let me tell you. In Philly, like, my Philadelphia Eagles fans and the 4-for-4s, oh, they let me have it last night because I put out a tweet like, sweet baby Jesus, let the Braves win this weekend because I didn't want it to be a rough Monday, because you know it's going to be a rough Monday because all you're going to hear about is Liberty Media and Alex Anthopoulos and how did he do this and that. And I was like, boy. And as the game started, I felt good because Ender Inciarte did what he was supposed to do. Let's get on base. And you felt like, you know, there are positives to take out of this game. With the aggressive base running and how the pitching was decent from the starters, but pitching is an issue. It is, and it's not like. But I still believe. Yeah. Still a long season.
As you get older, the other thing becomes an issue. But that's not the point.
Yeah, it's a long season, man. And I'll say this, I do believe, and I'm going to push ahead a little bit. I'm going to get, like you like to say, I'm going to get in front of my skis a little bit. I think that at the end of the season, it's going to come down to these two ball clubs. I really do.
Let's see here. United and the Braves have played 7 games. Do we have a win yet?
No.
No.
No. And Atlanta United, that was pretty tough to watch. Especially with the, you know what it was, the rain delay. The rain delay, I can't think, really killed it, though. The rain delay really, really killed that match.
Yeah, it did. That was awful. I mean, they should not have been playing. But, I mean, does it excuse the fact that whether the weather was ridiculous in Columbus or whether the weather was ridiculous in D.C. for the D.C. United game, or whether it was chilly and breezy in Philadelphia?
Oh, no, John, it was cold.
Okay, cold and windy in Philadelphia. The fact is both teams had to play in it, and the fact is none of the Atlanta teams did anything.
And you know, it's unfortunate, man, because I know how Braves fans feel, and there's nothing that you could say to salve that wound this morning. Nothing.
No.
And so that's why I sit here, and I'm not like somebody said, you're gonna try to spin. I'm not a spin doctor. I'm not. There are some concerns with the middle relief. And everybody's talking about going out and getting Kimbrel. John. There was no save situations in any of those.
No,
like,
no,
what?
We weren't even remotely close.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm.
No.
There was no save situations in the game. So I understand what you're saying. We got to get that middle relief. We got to get that taken care of.
And got to get the offense going.
Yeah. What offense, for the most part?
Well, I don't know, but I don't know if it's for the most part. I mean, Donaldson, Inciarte, Acuña, Marquez.
You got 4 runs yesterday. 6 runs yesterday, and I think you got 4 runs the other day. So you.
Right. Well, this you got one yesterday.
Well, one was it one run yesterday? I'm looking at the five to one yesterday.
But
okay,
six,
I'm looking at 6-8. I'm looking at the other day.
That was Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean Saturday.
This is the thing, though, John. This is how I look at it. I think that you have enough. You have enough offense to win with. Your defense is good as well. I think your offense is decent. You got some bats.
It'll come around.
Yes. You ran into a buzzsaw. that lineup for the Phillies is kind of a murderer's row, no question about it. And I still feel like at the end of the year, mm-hmm. it's going to come down to the Phillies and the Braves. I really do. That's just you caught a team that is hot right now. They're hot. I mean, they scored, what, 20 runs over the weekends? Over the weekend, something like that?
23.
Oh, yeah, I knew it was somewhere around it. 23 runs over the weekend. They're not going to do that week in and week out. I don't care what any of the Philly fans say about how great this team is. They're not going to hit like that all the time. You just caught them at the wrong time. Because look at Bryce, 0-3 the first night, woke up a little bit, woke up for real last night. I think that this team, you got to get that middle relief taken care of. It's going to be okay. You got to get some guys healthy.
Yeah,
you
but
have
we,
to get them healthy.
Yeah, but that is, and so let me play a little devil's advocate. John Malone, Liberty Media, everybody, we knew that. Everybody knew that. The world knew that. And you didn't do it. And now, what are you going to say? Oh, now we have to? It's like, hello. Well, you know,
that's the unfortunate thing.
Braves fan. You know, is saying, do you all winter long going, you better do something, you better do something.
And that's the frustrating thing for fans.
You're just figuring that out?
Yeah, but I will say this, and I do believe this. You have to figure out what you have. Mm-hmm. You have to. And I think that's what it was. I don't think that there's going to be any panic button push yet. It's just a tough stretch of the first half of the season, John, because you got the Cubs coming into town today. I mean, but what we were talking about in the bullpen this morning, Their pitching hasn't been great.
Nope.
You got a chance. Mm-hmm. You got a chance. But right now, I know every Braves fan, it has a sour taste in their mouth. I got a sour taste in my mouth because I ate a lot of crow yesterday. I ate so much crow, I'm still burping up feathers. It was ridiculous.
You're still – I was still that light at some point.
Yeah, I'm still burping up feathers.
Welcome to the morning show. Here we go. It is the Braves home opener tonight against the Chicago Cubs at SunTrust Park with Sean Newcomb against Kyle Hendricks. A reminder that we're going to be 92.9 in the game, having our tailgate before the game in Lot 29, which is just north of Circle 75 Parkway from 2 to 7 with Dukes and Bell on the tailgate. That'll be our Braves tailgate 2 to 7 outside SunTrust Park in Lot 29. Come by and say hi and join us as we get ready for the Braves and Cubs tonight in what will be a sold-out opening night at SunTrust Park. We also have the Final Four to get into, which we will in a moment. We'll certainly talk about United today. Mike Conley will join us in the 8 o'clock hour, and we'll get the lowdown on where we stand with that team. And we'll certainly chat him up about the weather and much more. And we'll talk with Dick Vitale's going to be on the program. Derek Schiller of the Braves will join us to preview opening night. Jessica Mendoza in the next hour to talk about what she saw from the booth on Sunday night between the Braves and the Phillies and whatnot. It is April Fool's Day. Can you believe it's already April?
I can't. I really can't. There's a lot going on. No, I cannot.
Yeah, it's already April. I mean, in about 3 weeks or so, the NFL draft, Masters is a week and a half away. Next week is the Masters in Augusta. Because, you know, actually, this year they've expanded it, so they have their first event actually is going to be held on Sunday of this week, which is a first time the women are ever going to play the course in the women's amateur. So Augusta will be open for business as of this Sunday for an 8-day run at Augusta National. So going to be a lot of fun for that. So a lot going on here. And, of course, the Braves home opener tonight at SunTrust Park. Well, let's see here. I think they said there were almost 8,000 people, 8,000 in the ESPN brackets who got the Final Four correct. 8,000, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Now, granted, there were 17 million ballots.
Yes, but that's still pretty amazing, John, because you're talking about an Auburn team. John, they've only been to the Final Four. They've only been to the Sweet 16 twice.
Right.
Last night was the second time that they've done it. Twice. This is the first time ever in the Final Four. I looked at that stat last night, John, because they mentioned it on television. I was like, what? I couldn't believe that. And when I saw that, you're talking about a bunch of newbies. Outside of the blue, well, I guess, would you consider Virginia blue blood? Not really.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, Michigan State's the real blue blood. But Virginia's been there before, obviously.
Yeah.
They haven't won a national title, but they've been there before, so.
Yeah,
I mean, at least they've been to the Final Four, but it's not. No, this is Michigan State, and then of course you know Virginia,
Texas kinda, Tech,
and then Texas Tech and Auburn, newbies.
I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool for the simple fact that they're experiencing something that they've never experienced before, and we kind of got what we were hoping for in the earlier rounds yesterday. We got some new blood. We got some new blood in the NCAA tournament. I think the games yesterday were very, very intense. Mm-hmm. They're probably the most intense games of the weekend. That Auburn game, boy. that Auburn, yeah, boy, that was good. The Michigan State-Duke game was good.
How about the Virginia game against Purdue at the buzzer?
Yeah. You know what's funny, John? I was I went to Hudson Grill to watch the game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching Zion play, and I'm sitting there. And, you know, I like to just hear some of the fans, you know, talk and interact with them during the course of the game. And some guy was sitting next to me and was saying that, you know, he was talking about Zion and how Zion was taking over the game. Then he said something that I heard that I thought was just totally ridiculous. He said, Zion needs to lose about 30 pounds when he gets to the pros. I was like, wow, 30 pounds? Like, and I'm thinking to myself, 30 pounds? Like, most people say about 10, maybe 10 pounds.
Why?
Because he was like, he's too big. And that just kind of blew my mind, that you would take a guy with that body type and talk about dropping 30 pounds and trying to be the same player at 30 pounds less. No.
I don't see that. I mean, that's what leads him to his power, which creates
like
all that
his
space.
Size.
Yeah. It's,
he's,
you know,
built like a tight end.
Right.
He's built like a tight end. And when he gets to the pros, he's going to be on a nutrition plan. He's going to be working out. He could probably, I would say 5 pounds, but then he's going to probably put on a little bit more muscle, lose about 5 to 10 pounds, but he's going to put on more muscle. And so it's not going to be a drop off. But he showed yesterday, there were times in that game where he just took over. He just took over. He kept them in it. Like, he's a beast. He is a beast, and he's so strong.
Well, it's a shame that in a way that he's not going to be able to display that at the Final Four in Minneapolis coming up this weekend. But, you know, if you're not a Duke fan, that's a very good day to have Duke out. And look at all the teams that have suddenly, all this chalk just went by the wayside. I mean, you ended up with only one number one seed making it in. That is, the number one seed, of course, is Virginia. Michigan State, a number two seed. Some people thought they ought to be a number one, but they're a number two seed. You have Texas Tech as a 3 and Auburn as a 5 that have made it to Minneapolis. So we'll see, and we'll see. You know, if the championship game is Texas Tech and Auburn, you're going to have two red hot teams. But at the same time,
nobody's going to want to watch.
Yeah, you got CBS sitting around going, "Oh my god!"
I think people will still watch. Probably
they will, but it won't be.
The numbers will probably be a little off.
Yeah,
but they'll still watch because it's still the excitement of the tournament.
Sure, of course,
it's still the excitement, but it's one of those things where, who is it? The Red Raiders, Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't gonna be that many people wearing Red Raiders gear at the your local watering hole. I don't believe.
I don't think so.
No, I don't believe that. But it still was fun. It was fun for those programs. I would say if Auburn makes it, a lot of people here in the South, it's gonna be a lot of people rooting for Auburn. How about that, Coach Pearl?
Yeah, how are you gonna be able to tell the Auburn and Virginia fans apart this week in town because their colors are the same?
What, the orange is more dominant in Virginia's colors, won't it? Wouldn't it be?
They pretty much look the same to me.
Yeah, but I'm saying the blue is more dominant in Auburn's colors.
Yeah, probably so.
Well, because I think the primary is blue.
Yeah.
The secondary is orange.
I would say you're correct. Auburn is a blue and orange team, and Virginia is an orange and blue team.
Yeah,
I would say you're correct about that. But still, you mean orange and blue and orange and blue. And then, of course, Michigan State, Texas Tech with red and green, pretty easy to tell apart. But you can bet that our college basketball expert, Deshaun Tate, who is a gigantic Sparty fan, is very happy.
Oh, he was very happy. Listen, I heard a little bit of his show last night after the game.
Uh-huh.
Good job. I mean, I know he's probably not up, but he did a good job. He's very, very excited. But I don't even know if he had Michigan State going this deep. I don't know.
Tonight, the home opener for the Atlanta Braves. Well, all we can do is hope that it's going to be better than what we saw in Philadelphia, because what we saw in Philadelphia was not good. That's all you can say. It was awful, as a matter of fact. We'll discuss that and your chance to weigh in, too, as we continue with John and Hugh next on this Braves opening day.
Figures in a matinee matchup against the Bucks on Sunday, but you already know who put the game on ice.
Kevin Huerter will put it in play. Goes with an alley-oop. It's knocked away. And Trey picks it up and puts it up. And it goes in! It goes in! Trey Young just won the game! Somehow, someway, he got a rebound, and he put it up and in! A tremendous win for the Hawks in overtime!
3 of the Hawks' 5 starters had a double-double to help Atlanta to the 136-135 win. Now, the Braves didn't fare so well, wrapping up the opening weekend series against the Phillies with futility at the plate. Manager Brian Snicker said that it was tough to overcome middle relief pitching.
Same thing. I mean, these guys never quit. I mean, we just kept coming back, and we put the tying run at the plate, and, you know, we're just having a hard time keeping them in the ballpark.
Braves look to bounce back from Sunday's 5-1 loss in the home opener tonight against the Cubs. And March Madness lived up to its name with Michigan State upsetting Duke 68-67 and Auburn beating Kentucky in an overtime 77-71 on Sunday. They'll join Virginia and Texas Tech in the Final Four. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Tanitra Batiste from the Kia Studios on your home for Tuesday's Hawks-Spurs game. Tip off at 8:30. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
Back to more John and Hugh.
And you need to listen on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What can you say about the Braves opening series in Philadelphia? You can say this.
You can go, boo! Boo!
Man.
Boo.
Oh, jeez, that was just awful in Philadelphia. I don't know what you can say if you're Brian Snicker, except I do have a couple things I want to say.
Well,
Snicker was talking about, you know, the Braves and their offense and whatnot, and had this to say.
We're going to have to keep fighting through it, yeah. I mean, it's just, we'll probably go through it again before the 6 months is over. And, yep. You know, till we get those three guys back and kind of solidifies things, we're just going to keep fighting. I mean, the guys, like I say, they're not quitting. They keep coming back at them. And it's just, you know, like I say, just got to come out and get one tomorrow.
It's, you know, I love Brian Snicker.
That's all you can say. Like, John.
Yeah, I got a few things I can say.
Oh, yeah, you can, but okay. But what are you going to do? Because we're of the same mindset that it don't matter who you had out there as your closer. It wasn't your closer's issue. It wasn't there was no closing situation this weekend. It's your middle relief. And until you get guys healthy, you got to keep fighting. I do like the fight in them. I do like the aggressive base running. Who was it? Ozzie Albies got caught at second.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that. I think that this team could still be – it's going to be a good team. It's a tough way to start the season.
All right, I'll just give you stats and you can make up your own mind, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Did you know that Freddie Freeman leads the National League in hitting? He actually does. He's hitting 600. He's 6-for-10. Freddie leads the NL in hitting. Now, as for everybody else, it's pretty much a bowl of suck. Josh Donaldson, hello. You can hit whenever you want there, Josh. Ender Inciarte, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Nick Markakis, okay? Donaldson, Inciarte, Acuna, and Markakis, Hugh. Those four combined to go 5-for-44 with zero extra base hits. 5-for-44 with no extra base hits.
It's going to get better. I mean, but there were signs that this team can't hit. It's just that you ran into a bus all this weekend. You ran into a team that when you look through the order, like you make Bryce Harper go 0-for-3 the first night, but it was Andrew McCutchen that got the party started. Then you look a couple nights later, what, Odubel Herrera doing his thing. Reese Hopkins. Dude, it's the tough part about going up against that team was that throughout that order, they were pretty clutch, especially once you got past your starting pitching of the Braves.
Let's see, home runs this weekend by Dansby Swanson, Charlie Culberson, and Matt Joyce. Okay, mm-hmm. Swanson, Culberson. Where are you, Josh? Where are you, Acuna? All right, so here's one thing I could say. It doesn't take a brainiac to figure things out, Hugh. Why would you – you know what's going to happen here?
What's going to happen?
The Braves offense is going to catch fire when they move Ronald Acuna back to leadoff hitter.
Everything – that might be the case, John. That might be the case. But I still believe that you should not push the panic button just yet. I don't. And I know
why are you why are you trying to take Ricky Henderson and make him into Hank Aaron?
Because it's better for the order right now. If you didn't run into that buzzsaw, that is the Phillies this week, I would say, but you did, and I understand that, and I know people aren't trying to hear my rhetoric this morning, but you're going to hear it. The way that they started off hitting, you can make an argument that if we had better middle relief, we could at least went through this series 2-1. least that, especially when you talk about Saturday and Sunday's game.
All right, so fine. I'll bite on that. So why if Joe Braves fan understood that our middle relief was a bowl of suck,
why didn't you do anything about
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Because you were trying to wait till guys get healthy before you start pulling the trigger on things. That's the only thing that I could think of in this situation, John, is that that's the reason why they haven't. I did not know that it was going to be the middle relief was going to be this bad. And again, I say this. That Phillies team, they're pretty good. Like that throughout that lineup, they're pretty good. Do you have that too? And I'll even give you this. This is a tough way to start the season. No question about it. And you got the Cubs coming into town. And everybody's going to be looking at that to see how you're going to handle that. This is a tough way to start. But I do believe that this Braves team has enough to win. I really do believe that.
I don't want to look back in September and say, you know what? You know, we finished three games behind the Phillies. What? Wonder where those three games came.
Yeah, the first three games of the season. I think it's going to come down to the wire. I am not ready to start making wholesale changes with this Braves team just yet. Although I will say this, I understand that there are a lot of fans that are uncomfortable. I was not happy with the outcome, but at the same time, you have to fight through this you get some guys healthy.
When Shane Carl hit Rhys Hoskins, I went, "Oh, that's just grand." I mean, that just helped.
Boy,
you know, thanks a lot, Shane.
But I will say this: I don't condone what he did because I think it was uncalled for, but I think that's going to add fuel to the fire of this rivalry this upcoming season. I really do.
Well, here's Gabe Kapler talking about the fact that his star slugger got drilled in the shoulder.
It really pisses me off when balls go underneath Rhys Hoskins' chin. Really bugs me. He's one of our leaders, in many ways the heartbeat of our club, and it really bothers me when that happens.
Yeah, he should be mad. I mean, if it had been the other way around, I'd have been mad. I mean, to me, what happened with Acuna last year with the Marlins was far worse because, I mean, they were trying to kill him.
Do you think that was on purpose, though?
I think there was a message being sent there.
I don't know. That balls were kind of getting kind of loose, and it was kind of cold out there last night. I'm not making excuses. I know that's what it sounds like.
I mean,
I'm
Jake Arrieta can't throw the ball over the plate, and you can't get anything.
Yeah, but there was a little cold out there last night. Guys were out there like they were in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Guys had their face covered. It was a little cold out there last night, John. I don't think that was one of those things where it was done purposely. But I do believe that it's going to make for interesting matchups down the line. Because how many more of these you got? About five or six during the course of the season?
Five more series.
Yeah. It's going to be very, very interesting. And I do believe it's going to come down to the Braves and the Phillies when it's all said and done.
Well, that was just an awful way to start. And the reason it was awful was Cruciaro in three. But the secondary reason is that it pointed out every single deficiency that everybody said you had. And, you know, the fact that Donaldson's coming off injury and he's just not ready to start the season, he's a little cold, and they kept trying to hide that down in spring training. Well, because he didn't get off. How many at-bats did he get down in the spring? Donaldson will warm up, but it's going to take him a while, it looks like. Hopefully that happens tonight.
And see, that's the thing, though, John. It's one of those things where, you know, fans are talking about this Braves team and what they're lacking and how you could lose the East in April. I don't believe that to be the case. I believe that there's some good with this team. I really do believe that they had enough hitting that if the Phillies weren't hitting the way that they were, you had some chances to win this game 2-1. I believe that could have been the case this weekend. It could have been the case, but they would fight their way out of holes, and they dug themselves back in them.
If you were the manager of the Braves, what would you do tonight against the Cubs? Nothing?
Hold the fort.
Really?
You know, John, I know you wouldn't, John.
My batting order would start with Ronald.
I know you
Jr.
wouldn't, John. But that goes to say that would only say that you didn't have that much faith in your leadoff hitter in the first place. And now you're probably putting in his head that he wasn't good enough. Once you make that move, you can't go back. And I'm pretty sure as a manager, you probably didn't care. You wouldn't care. But you have to understand, you have to give these players a chance to fail. You got to give them a real chance to fail. I don't think that's a real chance.
I've given Ender Inciarte plenty of chances.
He's had three starts.
Yeah, but it's not like he's a rookie. I mean, we know what he can bring to the table.
I mean, you're right. You do know, and you know it might take him a little while to get it going. John, that lineup, you talking about that pitching for the Braves?
How patient can you be, though? I mean, really?
John, after this, like, this is the thing, and this is how you have to weigh this. Now, I will be the first to tell you, sometimes I will admit – I wait too long to pull the trigger on certain things. I really do. So that's why I'm not managing the Braves, and I'm not a manager, because I know that is a character flaw of mine. But I don't think that you should start going into the lineup tonight and start making changes. I don't think it should happen tonight. Now, the outcome of this series, I would seriously start thinking about making some changes, because you're talking about if we go 0-6 or whatever the series is coming up tonight, if you're that, then yes, I can't wait around to figure out when Ender's going to get hot or anything like that. Now, there are signs where I look at it and I would say, okay, you know, you're talking about playing against the Cubs tonight and how their pitching has not been there. Okay, let's see. Because you got, what, six runs the other day? We can hit. Let's see how it plays out this one.
It's not just Ender being 1-for-11, or Ender used to be the leadoff hitter and didn't do it, and they dropped into eighth in the order, which is which obviously what happened last year, and that's what spurred, you know, Acuna to go to the leadoff spot, which ignited this team. It's that when Acuna went to the leadoff spot and ignited this team, why would you go away from it? I'm baffled. I just don't quite. To me, this is almost like saying, okay, Julio Jones, we're going to put you at running back.
Kind of not the same thing, John.
Why would you do that?
John, it's kind of not. I understand.
Trey, you're going to play the five.
John, I understand your pain, but that's kind of not the same
thing. Hey, Gusen, you're going to be up front alongside Joseph.
it's really not the same thing. It's really not. But okay, I'm going to let you have it.
I didn't mean rain on your parade. That was Columbus being rained on. All right, so we'll talk about United. We'll get them kind of squared away as best we can. Man, they need a week off, too. Did the Braves get a week off? Oh, no, I guess not. As we continue next, what happened with United in Columbus? See how much fun our job is this morning? Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
30, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's shot score!
Are back in action
as they kick off season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Played back into the middle now in front of Eric Rometty. And Higuain reconnects with Robinho in the right corner. Dribbles into the edge of the 18. His cross score, Jozy Zardes. 2-0 to the Crew in the 39th minute.
Mike Conley, voice of Atlanta United, on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game over the weekend. You know, I saw one headline. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. We're discussing thank God for the Hawks, a bit of a lost weekend for us in Atlanta. I saw one headline, and it turns out the story didn't match the headline, and it was something about how, and I forget where I saw it here, but, Atlanta United, says the weather was the cause of their loss, and I thought, what the cause of their loss? Are you kidding me? And then I read into the story, and whoever wrote the headline, I don't, maybe they felt that way, but the story didn't indicate that, because Hugh, there's no weather. The weather didn't cause them to lose. The weather was terrible. The weather was so bad it shouldn't have played the game. It didn't cause them to lose. Columbus had to play in the same weather. What caused them to lose was not bothering to mark anybody, standing right out in front of Brad Guzan trying to kick a ball into the net.
Yeah. Yeah, the defense broke down a little bit, John, and it just looked like they didn't have too many chances to create. They didn't get too many chances to make a shot or score a goal. And I think a little bit of that might have been the rain delay. But when you look at the way that Columbus jumped out on them early in the match, that's something that you can't really use as an excuse, especially when you've had a little bit of time to get yourself together. Now, I will say this, that they still haven't been up to full strength, and they still haven't had the practice time that they've needed. But they got to figure it out, man, because this is getting to a point where there's so much expected of this team that if they don't get it together, it's going to be tough. This is going to be a tough place to play when they come back home. This is going to be the first time that the atmosphere in Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to be a little weird.
It also might be the end of the sellout streak.
You think? I don't know about that. That might be a little bit of a stretch. Now, I know that there are some soccer fans out there that are really, really, really upset. But I don't think that they're bailing on. I just don't see that. That to me sounds like a fair weather fan. I don't. From what I've gathered, I would be very, very surprised if that's the case. I think they'll be there. I don't think they'll be. They're going to be energetic, but if it gets off to a bad start, I think it's going to quickly turn. I just can't see as loud and boisterous as Atlanta United fans are, John. I can't see them bailing just yet. Now, I can see if it gets off to a bad start that they might be a little loud and negative, but I don't see them bailing on the squad just yet. I don't see that.
Well, here's where I'm going to come, you know, being the driver of the bandwagon and the keeper of the Kool-Aid. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh, discussing the weekend and talking about Atlanta United's latest 2-0 loss on the road in bad weather. That's the second one they've had already this season. Just focusing on MLS play, Atlanta United's played 4 games. They've scored 2 goals in 4 games. We used to score 2 goals in 2 minutes. Now we score 2 goals in 4 games. I'm going to give them this week, Hugh. All right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them a pass for this week. This is the week they've been waiting for to finally, because we had the week off leading up to the Columbus game, but so many of our guys were scattered to national teams and international play. This is the week that Frank DeBoer has the team for the entire week. There's no international play.
Got to get
there's
it done.
There's no CCL. There's no this or that. You have an entire week to prepare for the New England Revolution, which is just the New England Revolution. If you can't go up there and get a positive result, then you and I are going to have an issue this a week from today.
Yeah, it's not. It's going to be one of those things where fans, it's going to be real uncomfortable to be at the bins if the results aren't what you want them to be. And there has to be a huge jump in productivity for Atlanta United in a week's time. I know that's probably hard to imagine, but that has to be the case. You're talking about a team for the last few weeks has looked nothing like the team that's won MLS Cup. And part of that's because there's been a lot of injuries, a lot of interchangeable parts and things of that nature. A lot of guys, we were talking about going to international play in a new system. But next week, you have to have a great week of work.
Yeah, to me, the Braves and United are separate things. They're two totally different things. United is, you know, defending champion, and Braves are defending NL East champions. The Braves, you look at him and go, okay, Gausman's going to be back. By the way, Gausman's going to be pitching this week. He's starting this week. And then Foldy's right behind him. So, you know, you're not going to be able to use, you know, injuries. Now, I know Darren O'Day's not going to be there for a while, but Gausman and Foldy are going to be back. This team will start hitting. These guys are just too good. And Acuna will start hitting. But, again, I don't know why he's not batting lead off, but that's just me.
I know we're talking about Atlanta United, but the Braves, now, I'm not too much. I'm worried about that pitching, like that middle relief. Like, that's it right there, John. I mean, I think that – the Braves, they're going to be a team that's going to fight, but they got to have a fighting chance. And middle release doesn't give you a chance. But back to Atlanta United. I'm done with the Braves right now.
And Braves are going to start hitting, and yes, they're going to have to, you know, focus in on their pitching and figure it out. And you know, I don't know how you do that without making some changes, but that's just again me. For Atlanta United, you're dancing with what brung you. Okay, there's no changes. There's no trades there really to speak of. There's no, you know, I mean, you're really going to have to dance with what brung you. And what bothers me is, you know, yes, the lack of scoring, but just the total breakdowns on defense.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I mean, no, their two goals, nobody was standing around the two guys, and they're standing free in the box.
Caught them looking. And I think at some point you have to worry about or have to be concerned about frustration setting in for a team that has had so much success to try to implement this new system and to try to go out there and get the same results that you've gotten in the past, and it's not happening. That has to be a little frustrating. But, again, like we just said, John, you have a full week of work. You'll be at full strength. Well, you have all your guys back from international play. Hopefully some of these guys that were dinged up a little bit, hopefully they'll be ready to go.
Oh, Escobar played yesterday.
Yeah, and you could get a little bit of –
for Saturday, right?
Yeah, well, you can get a little bit of continuity. I think that's the biggest thing. You're talking about a lot of interchangeable parts, a lot of new parts, a lot of guys who are still trying to learn how to play with one another. You're talking about the Martinez brothers. I call them Martinez brother, Pitti and Joseph. They still haven't gotten on the same page yet. It's just one of those things. It's a tough start to the season for both of our clubs right now, the Braves and Atlanta United. And, you know, I can't, especially with Atlanta United, can't sit here and say that it's going to be okay and that it's going to get better. It has to get better this weekend. You know, you can't keep sitting here and saying, hey, give him another week. Because first thing you know, we're going to be in the middle of the season, and then you're going to just be fighting and clawing just to be relevant.
Well, like I say, this is the week that they've been waiting for. You know, the week that they can finally all train. When they go up to New England this weekend and play the Revolution, they darn well better win.
Got to win. That's what we are.
I mean, we're four games in. I mean, this is not baseball. This is 34 games, not 162. You cannot keep giving games away. I mean, four games is more than 10% of your – it's more than 10% of your season.
I'm with you, John. I'm with you on that. Now, that one we can agree on. Not the Braves, though. Not so much on the Braves.
Well, let's see what happens with the Cubs. And, yeah, maybe the Braves will get it going. I mean, it's just really frustrating right now because these start seven games between the two and not a win among them. When we get back, are you excited about the Final Four? Should we be concerned about the fact the Final Four has the potential for a championship game that – anybody outside of Auburn, Alabama, or Lubbock, Texas, they can pretty much care. We have that as we continue next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.